Truth Espresso, episode 286.
Face it, we all would rather sleep in this morning. That's why God gave us espresso, to kickstart our zombified corpses into hyperdrive. And now, giving your mind and soul the morning shot of truth it craves. This is Truth Espresso with Daniel Minnick.
Hello there, friends, family, foes, and lurkers alike. This is your host, Daniel Minnick, and I have with me, once again, my sweet, beautiful wife and co-host, Chelsea. And we're going to talk a little bit in this short episode about Bible stories, stories that you might have heard in Sunday school, and we're going to talk about kind of the themes that we might get and see if there's like a unifying theme in all those. And so, sweetheart, do you have a favorite Bible story, particularly one that you might have learned as a kid? Maybe it was your favorite as a child?
It was hard for me to narrow down to just one, so I actually picked two, but I think it's mostly because they do have a common thread with them. So the first Bible story that I like to remember or recall sticking out as one of my favorites is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they end up in the fiery furnace because they refuse to bow down to the idol that King Nebuchadnezzar wanted everyone to worship. And I think this one is one of my favorite ones because it shows the courage that these three men had with the ultimate discipline of not obeying and doing what the king said to do was to be thrown in. Like, reading the story, they turned the heat up 1 in 7 times more than it was typically heated. Like, that's a very hot furnace, and they're facing being thrown into this if they didn't cooperate and bow down to the idol. And my favorite part is once they're thrown in the furnace, there's not just three of them. The king looks in and he's like, wait, there's four of them in there. Didn't we only put three people in there? And that this is one time where Jesus actually shows up and is with those three men in the midst of that fiery furnace. And they were saved. They weren't charred, or everything on them was still intact. When King Nebuchadnezzar said, let's have them come out, and they came out and nothing was burnt on them. And I think that was my favorite part, that Jesus actually was in there with them.
So it's kind of like they actually got to see who was protecting them visibly. And then the fact that they trusted in God that he could deliver them, but they didn't declare it with 100% certainty. It's like they knew what they ought to do, regardless of how, if God was going to intervene. Like, we will not bow down, and our God can protect us. But if he won't, let it be known that we won't bow down.
Yeah, so that just took a lot of courage for those three men to stand up and face that consequence.
That's an example of evil people in high places using that to oppress righteousness. So my favorite story as a child, of course, given my name, Daniel, the Bible character, once again, my namesake there, Daniel, I did like that one, and I also liked Daniel in the Lion's Den. That one also has a similar idea that there's a decree, there's a law that says you can't pray to anyone but the king for 30 days. If it's like, we all know how that is with governments. Here's a temporary thing, but those in power want to try it out and then extend it indefinitely. But Daniel knew that he's going to be in trouble with the law here, but it's not going to change how I worship God. And so once again, he's thrown into the lion's den because of that law, and he prays to God, and an angel comes and shuts the lion's mouths. But Daniel didn't know, he didn't get some revelation saying, don't worry, Daniel, it's all going to work out in such a way that you'll be rescued. But he trusted that God would hold his commitment in such a way that he will honor it. But Daniel didn't know the outcome, but he knew to do what was right. And God did deliver him from the mouths of the lions. Sweetheart, what's another one of your favorites?
Yeah, so my second favorite story growing up was the story of Queen Esther. I think in part because it's a female Bible character, but also just the courage that Esther had to go before the king for the sake of her people. And I just loved that, like, she was scared to do this. Instead of letting that fear get the best of her, she went to God in prayer and was asking for guidance. And that gave her the courage to go before the king, knowing that a consequence of going before the king uninvited would be punishment, even death for a person that goes before the king. And she was willing to risk potentially even her life for that because her people's lives were at risk here. And I think that just that bravery and courage that she had to go before the king, not knowing what would happen for the sake of her people, is just like, that's so neat. So I think between those two, I can't tell which one is my favorite. But yes, I'd love to hear your story.
This is not one you normally think of for Sunday school lessons, but I remember at some point hearing it as a kid when we have studies through the books of Samuel and the life of David. And so one that's really stuck with me for, you know, even my adult life that I often think of when there's like trying times, difficult situations that I can relate to, and not the specifics of the story, of course, but finding yourself in a difficult situation that seems like everything's just gone up in flames around you and you wonder, like, what can I do now? And that's King David at Ziklag, when he and his men get to Ziklag and they see the city burned and their wives and children are taken captive by the enemy. And it's like, I've lost everything. And then even some of his men are criticizing him. So it's kind of like, okay, even the people who are supposed to help me, they're angry at me. And it says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But then we have the story. Some of the men are, 200 of the men are too tired, you know, to go. 400 go with him. And then they find someone who's of the enemy, but he begs his life saying, please don't take my life. I'll help you out here or get to where they're at. And as long as you spare me. And eventually, so they do almost like a full day of slaughter of the enemy. They find them dancing because they got all this spoil and stuff. They're celebrating. But then from dawn till basically the end of the day, they're fighting until there's just some survivors fleeing on camels. And then they recover, like the text, make sure that you know, like almost emphasizing they recovered everything that they lost. Their wives and children, they're all intact and they get the spoils and stuff. So it's kind of like, oh, wow, there's a really happy ending there. But to think the kind of courage David had to have had and the men that he brought with him, because they're not going to know the size of the army they're up against trying to recover. They don't know for certain if any harm was done to their family members there. So I think like that's such a tragic situation. But then encourage himself and the Lord is God. And then they have to have courage to go fight the enemy and recover everything. And God rewards them for that courage. And that's one of the stories that I kind of encourage myself with, relating to David in a really difficult situation.
So it seems like we keep saying a very common word with all these stories. What do you think that word is?
It seems like in all these situations, these stories, courage comes out. Yeah. What's like courage? I don't think courage means like you don't have any fear. Like in every one of those stories, we know that they had their doubts, their uncertainties. Will God deliver us? I don't know, but we're going to do the right thing. David not knowing, will God deliver us? Will this be able to work? Well, I know what I need to do. So in all these stories, we see this running theme. And I think a lot more Bible stories would be like that. The ones that we learn as children. You know, you could take any example, Noah and the ark. It takes courage to go against the criticisms of the world to build an ark, you know, away from water, and everything takes courage. And what's courage then? It's trust in God. You have to trust in God to have the courage to do the unthinkable.
I think it's interesting because a lot of times, especially as a child, when you read those stories, you don't think about the aspect that those people struggled with fear. And then you kind of saw them as almost a type of superhero.
Yeah.
But now as an adult and going through difficult times or times of fear or times that you know people aren't going to like what we're standing up for, but we know this is right, we're going to do it anyways. It gives you a different perspective of those stories. And I love how you described like the meaning of courage. And I love Joshua 1:9, where it says to be strong and courageous, because it takes God's strength in you to overcome that fear. Because if it was just us, we would go run and hide somewhere because I think the fear would be so overwhelming. But when we have Christ in us, that strength that he gives us overcomes that fear. And that gives us the courage to go and do or to stand up for and be bold in what we need to stand up against or stand for. A different perspective from when you listen to these stories from when you're a child and then you think about it as you're older and you experience different things.
Sunday school stories, they're not just for kids, and they might even mean more to you as an adult because you think about the kind of courage that the Bible characters had to face. And they're not just, when I was a kid, there were some Sunday school teachers that actually would have the flannel graphs and put the felt characters onto the flannel graph board and stuff. But I've also heard the expression, you know, when you look at the Bible characters, you read the stories and stuff, think they're not flannel graph characters. They were real and they experienced these situations as real humans with real emotions. They're not just the flannel graph stories. So as adults, we tend to even think more deeply, you know, it's not just this cool adventure and story. It's apply it to your own life and build the courage by trusting in God in difficult situations.
This podcast, we just wanted to go through some of our favorite Bible stories and talk about that theme of being courageous and hopefully encourage our listeners that when you have Christ in you, you can have that courage to stand strong and stand up for what you believe in, even when it seems that everyone else is saying or doing something else. When you know it's right and what God wants you to do, he gives you that strength and that courage to do that.
Amen, sweetheart. And I don't think I can add any more to those great comments there and encourage our listeners to always be strong and very courageous, as Joshua was told, as Moses was told, and as the Bible stories let us know. And so we hope that you enjoyed this short little episode and that you continue to listen to Truth Espresso and come back for the next episode of Truth Espresso. And God bless.
Thank you for waking up with Truth Espresso. Good morning, and God bless your day.
Hey friends, Daniel Minnick here again. If you liked waking up to this episode of Truth Espresso, I would really appreciate it if you would rate it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or whatever application you use to listen to Truth Espresso.